Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Follow us on Twitter at KAR. Current State, the 29th annual Vintage Electronics Extravaganza gets underway this weekend in Lansing. The Michigan Antique Radio Club spearheads the gathering, which is one of the largest of its kind in the country. There will be between 200 and 300 sellers with a diverse mixture of vintage radio and telephone and other electronic items on display and for sale. And WKAR's Peter Wharf checked it all out. What'd you find out, Peter?
Mark, I'm here on your radio show, and what I'm about to say may shock you. I really love old radios. So when I found out about this a year ago, I thought, boom, perfect for Current State.
Sure.
A chance to go see old radios. And this year, more recent electronic equipment, solid state stereo that's now, quote, vintage, video games from the early days of video. And we'll find out about that more from Mark Oppett, who I got to know last year, who's a collector and a vintage radio parts distributor. That's another story in itself. But Mark and I got together earlier this week, and he told me about the Vintage Electronics Extravaganza, and starts off just explaining what it is.
Well, first of all, it's a flea market. The flea market opens at 7 a.m. on Friday, and it goes till about 11 a.m. on Friday. And then we have an indoor auction from 1 to 4. And then we also have flea market on Saturday all day. But it's, first of all, it's a flea market. Then it's also seminars indoors. And we also have the auction, and we have a social hour for collectors to get together. In conjunction with us, by the way, this year is the Telephone Collectors International. And they are a totally separate group, and they have their separate area inside, and they're just happen to be at the same location as we are at the same time.
So this would be vintage telephones, I suppose.
Yeah. And I couldn't even tell you anything about what they do. It's like, you know, cat collectors versus dog collectors. I mean, I just don't know.
Different language entirely.
Different language, yes. It's a whole different thing. They're less about electronics. We're about electronics. That's another thing. A lot of people associate us with the old crank-up phonographs, and really our group doesn't get involved in that because that's machinery. It has no electronics in it. So actually, the crank phonograph collectors are more likely to be clock collectors because it's fine machinery. Right. Yeah.
And what we'll see at the Electronic Extravaganza is really based, the heart of it is really around tube radios. And just everything else radio is there from a $10 tabletop to something really very high end.
That's right, yes. I mean, you'll see the total range from, really radio begins around 1920. And our range, we come up to maybe around 1990 in products. But we are expanding now into vintage audio equipment, so solid-state audio equipment of the 70s, 80s, and starting to be 90s now is collectible.
Yeah.
Also, vintage gaming devices have become collectible.
What types of gaming devices might show up?
Yeah, the old names like Atari and whatever else existed in the 70s and 80s.
They're 20 plus years old, so they're starting to come back now as vintage. What sort of solid-state audio might be appearing?
Oh, well, the big names of the 70s and 80s were Kenwood and Pioneer. You see a lot of that, but you'll see Sansui, and you'll see the classic name from the 60s, which is also a tube-type audio, is Fisher. So you see Fisher, Dynaco. Yeah. Those are some of the older names from that time period.
Fisher, Kenwood, Pioneer, and those sorts of things. What makes these solid-state items attractive to collectors and audiophiles?
Well, mainly you have to be looking at the high end of those products because they still really do perform well. So it's really, when you get into the solid-state era, there's a lot of stuff that's the lower line has very little, if no value at all.
Right.
But when you get into the very top of those lines, the items that at that time sold for, $400, $500, they're starting to sell for $400 or $500 or more again.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of lost their value after a while, and now they've come back. So those real high-end tuners, separate tuners and amplifiers, especially amplifiers,
right.
They're getting popular again.
Tell me again about the sort of antiques roadshow element to the electronic extravaganza. Well, you can bring items in.
Yes, you can. And we highly encourage the public to bring anything in that they have that's vintage radio or audio or related items. Like even vintage televisions are quite collectible. Certain unusually shaped ones and things like that. Yeah. And by the way, one of the hottest areas of collecting in that field is the very earliest color televisions.
The world is a carousel of color. Wonderful, wonderful color.
Walt Disney presents...
The Wonderful World of Color.
When would those be from?
The very first ones came out in late 1954. And that was RCA and Westinghouse. They were the first two ones out. But then other companies came out with them in the succeeding years. So anything before like 1962-ish in color is a collectible item.
What were some of those early color televisions looking like? Screen size, the way they were built? What would we see?
The first ones that came out were all 15-inch diagonal. Yeah. And they stayed that way for a couple of years. And then they started expanding. They came out with a 17-inch, then a 19, then a 21, etc. By the time you get up into around 1963 or 4, the 25-inch what we call roundy. It was actually a round picture tube installed into the cabinet, and the top and the bottom were flatted off. Those were very common. So you see a lot of the RCA roundies from the early 60s.
We talked about the electronics extravaganza at this time last year. What's happened for you in the last year? Any interesting new acquisitions for you?
Yeah, actually, I did come across something that's kind of unusual. I'm not as hardcore a collector as I used to be, in a way, because I've gotten into the parts and restoration business.
You do that online.
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. Having been in collecting for 40 years, you know, you start to say, oh, I've seen it all before. But actually, I came across a radio that is made by a company called Silver Marshall. And right when Silver Marshall went out of business, they started another company called McMurdo Silver, and they made really high-end chrome-plated chassis radios. So these Silver Marshalls are just before that, and I found one that is really the predecessor, the very pre-radio to the ones that were the chrome-plated models. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of exciting to find.
Yeah. What do you like about it?
Just the technology of this particular one. It's not. It has a nice cabinet. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of knobs, a lot of controls, which collectors like. So you can do a lot of things with it when you're tuning. It's just got those kind of sexy features and the fact that it's so obscure. To me, it's a thing that I just haven't seen before. And I've been to a lot of shows, and these just do not show up. I mean, other models by this company do, but this particular high-end model just really doesn't show up. I found it in Flint. Yeah. It was on Craigslist.
Yeah.
And they just said, you know, Silver Marshall Model Q. And I'm like, Silver Marshall Model Q?
Yeah.
Really? I'll take that.
This is Peter Worf for Current State. I'm speaking with Mark Oppett of the Michigan Antique Radio Club, and we're talking about the 29th Annual Vintage Electronics Extravaganza, which is this weekend in Lansing, Michigan. And we're discussing our love of beautiful old radios and fun and quirky features on those radios. So thanks for doing this today, Mark.
Say it's only a paper.